In 1972, when Gough Whitlam stormed into office, he placed cities firmly on the federal government agenda. He said only a Labor government could dare or care to play a role in what had been a solely state and local government responsibility. His minister was Tom Uren, who was a father figure to Anthony Albanese. As fate would have it, it's now Anthony Albanese who is the shadow minister for cities. But now there is a Liberal flying the urban development flag.
The key to a modern livable city is very good connectivity. We humans are social animals. The reasons we live in cities is because we are social animals and we are more productive when we are working together. So our approach should be support whatever projects that deliver the outcomes that we want.
That's Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Labor's Shadow Minister for Cities is Anthony Albanese. Anthony Albanese, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good to be with you, Fran.
We've now got a federal Liberal Minister for Cities, Jamie Briggs, and a Prime Minister who says livable, vibrant cities are absolutely critical to our prosperity. Has Malcolm Turnbull stolen your thunder?
Well, I'm pleased that they've been paying attention, Fran. What we've had is a federal government that's disbanded the major cities unit, that hasn't used the urban design protocol that was established by the former government, the tool for urban sustainability, the record funding for urban public transport that we had when we were in government. We actually funded more urban public transport than all previous governments combined from Federation right through to 2007. And of course, one of the first things that the new government did in its first budget is have $4.5 billion of cuts to public transport projects like the Cross River Rail in Brisbane, like the Melbourne Metro, that had all been approved by Infrastructure Australia, and in some cases fund projects like the East-West Link that had a 45 cents return for every dollar invested.
But that's all history now, isn't it? Isn't that the point, that we now have a Liberal Prime Minister whose policy is to fund infrastructure growth, especially in public transport, through long-term planning with the states, with an emphasis on greener cities? Is there any point of difference between the government and opposition now, or is it narrowed?
Action, Fran. Words are easy. It's one thing for Malcolm Turnbull to travel on a train. He's got to fund rail. And the fact is that this government hasn't. The first thing that he could do is to put that $4.5 billion back in. You still have, last week, his three-person committee of Greg Hunt, Jamie Briggs and Paul Fletcher doesn't actually include Warren Truss, who's the Minister for Infrastructure and Transport. That's the main game, as Malcolm Turnbull said, is connectivity in our cities is the focal point, and then other things come off that. What's the job creation? What's the urban spaces that are created? What's the livability of our cities? They abolished the Livable Cities program. And we'll wait and see. We welcome, certainly, the creation of the Minister for Cities. But we do say that it's in the wrong place. It's a junior minister in the Department of Environment. And the funding portfolio is, of course, the Department of Infrastructure and Regional Development. That looks after transport. And that appears to be excluded from these discussions and is still in charge of the National Party.
In your recent Ben Chifley Light on the Hill speech, you said the suburbs of Middle Australia are being transformed from lively communities where people lived, worked and played into drive-in, drive-out suburbs where people can afford a home but can't find a job. And a lot of people would really relate to that. But this is not new. I mean, this was the problem too when you're in government for many years than the coalition's been in government. You didn't solve this.
But we did take action, Fran.
Well, it didn't solve it. I mean, people still complaining about those freeways being car parks.
Well, Fran, you don't solve these issues in one term of government. We opened earlier this year the regional rail link, for example, the largest ever public transport investment by a Commonwealth government in any project. That has transformed the ability of people from Bendigo, Ballarat and Geelong to get into Melbourne. And in terms of the outer suburbs of Melbourne, Tarneit, a brand new station connected with active transport being promoted by having bicycle lock-ups available at the station. In Perth, the Perth CityLink project will transform Perth, uniting the Perth CBD with the Northbridge entertainment section of Perth, sinking the railway line, allowing for development on top of that railway line, removing the bus terminal from the absurd position where it is. They're the sort of projects that you need to actually fund and invest in. And we do have two challenges. One is the fact that job growth is in our inner areas because of the changing patterns of work, and therefore you need to have specific projects like the Badgers Creek Airport is a good start in southwestern Sydney to create a jobs precinct. But there you have still a government that's saying it won't fund the rail line to the airport. It needs to be, on day one, an airport that has rail access.
It's 17 minutes to 8. Our guest is Anthony Albanese, Shadow Minister for Transport. Don't we have another challenge too, and that's the budget? The government's now saying the opposition's proposed more than $10 billion of new spending measures since the May budget, and you've only proposed half of in terms of revenue measures to fund that. Do you accept the budget needs to be fixed before we're going to have the money really to fix our cities?
I accept absolutely, Fran, that we have some issues with regard to recurrent expenditure in the budget that need to be dealt with.
And that Labor's not really dealing with those. It keeps coming up with ideas, but these have costs to them.
Well, that's not right, Fran. We've actually put forward $20 billion of changes that the government is rejecting in areas like superannuation and multinational tax avoidance.
They add up to $5 billion, don't they? Not $20
billion. We are the first over the period in which we're talking, Fran, and the government likes to exaggerate the circumstances, but the fact is that we have a new treasurer who, on his first interview, went back to Joe Hockey's same old rhetoric, said there's no revenue problem. Well, there is. The first thing that this government did when it came to office was to make changes that doubled the deficit. You don't hear them talk about budget emergency anymore, Fran. This is a government without a narrative. Now, in cities, they're looking for a narrative, but they need to actually have action. And there are some areas that would be very easy for them to fix. Areas like Gold Coast Rapid Transit System, there's money sitting in the Queensland budget that's been allocated from New South Wales that's a saving on the Redcliffe rail line project that the Queensland government want to be able to allocate right now to Gold Coast, to the Stage 2 of the Gold Coast Light Rail Project, the G. And that's important it gets started, It's completed prior to the Commonwealth Games.
Can I suggest another action that could be taken to help rejuvenate cities? This is coming from the tourism industry, and you're the Shadow Minister of Tourism too. That's change on penalty rates. Former Labor Minister for Tourism, Martin Ferguson, says penalty rates should be changed. People are looking at this idea of changing the penalty rates on Sundays. Are you supporting or opposing the union movement's campaign against any cuts to penalties?
I like the way you put that, Fran. What I'm supporting is the mums and dads in my electorate who rely upon penalty rates to pay their mortgage, to put food on the table, and to pay their school fees for their kids. That's what I'm supporting. We in this country have a system whereby there are many working families with both parents working, struggling to get by, who, if you cut their wages, that's what we're talking about here, cut their wages and cut their living standards with no compensation at the other end, then they'll be worse off.
So no cuts to Sunday penalty rates, even though others say that would really rejuvenate some of our urban centres?
Well, who says that, Frank?
Lots of people say that. That's what the tourism industry campaign is about. It'll keep businesses open, cafes open on Sundays where they can't afford to, is the argument.
Friend, come to my electorate that I think you know well, and what you'll see is a vibrant community on a Sunday in places like Newtown and others that are functioning well, where people are also earning money to either get themselves through university or to ensure that they have enough money to get by in terms of their weekly budget. What can occur, Fran, and has occurred in places, is proper negotiation to ensure that penalty rates are dealt with as part of a wage package. Proper negotiation between employers and employees to produce a win-win outcome.
Anthony Albanese, we've got to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good to talk to you, friend.
Anthony Albanese is the Shadow Minister for Infrastructure, Transport, Cities and Tourism. It's 13 to 8 on Breakfast.